welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather of Pet Honoring, here in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. It is an absolutely beautiful day. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a great show. We have Jenna Yarosh of Patton Avenue Pet Company here to talk to us today and tell us more about pet nutrition and the value and the importance of all of that. But before we get started, there is a United Pet Honoring Ceremony this Sunday. These are held the second Sunday of every month. Now, this is the time, if you have a pet you would like to be honored, a pet that's near and dear to your heart, that you just want to do something special for and have that moment of honoring, this is just a simple memorial ceremony. It's free to add a pet name, and it's free to call in and listen. And people from all over the world send in their pet name to be honored and loved during this ceremony. It really gives us a lovely way of expressing our appreciation and all that they mean to us. And you can find out more about that on pethonoring.com. Also, the lectures from the Angel Pets Conference this April are now available on CD. This Angel Pets Conference was conducted to help us become better educated and more comfortable with pet end-of-life issues. And so these lectures are now available on CD. They address things like assessing quality of life, talking to your vet about your dog, being an advocate, and what to expect, really. And it's a really invaluable resource. You can find out more about that on pethonoring.com as well. Pet Honoring show here really recognizes that pets are our family and honors all that they give. This show is here to cover innovative and holistic pet care topics and help us become better pet parents. So thank you so much for joining us. So today we have Jenna Yarosh. Very excited to have her here. She has an animal science degree from the University of Vermont. She has a graduate certificate program certificate from the Humane Society in Asheville. She has, for over a decade, been involved with all aspects of pet care, from pet grooming to running a kennel, an animal shelter, and now she is running Pet Avenue Pet Company. And this is a pet store in Asheville. It is, I love this store because there's so much more than a store. It is a community center for learning and resources for everything to address pets. But today we're specifically going to talk about pet nutrition. So welcome, Jenna. Welcome to the show.
So much. Thank you for having me.
It's just so great to have you here. I know a lot of people get confused about pet nutrition, and it's a hard field to navigate because there's so much out there. So let's start with the basics. So why do we even need to think about what our pets eat? What's important here?
So I'd say the most important thing about why we're thinking about pet nutrition is to prevent issues, to prevent health problems. Just like with humans, our healthcare system has kind of evolved into dealing with problems after they occur rather than preventing them in the first place. And with our pets, it's even more important because their lifespan's a lot shorter, and the effects that improper nutrition can have on their health are much greater. So I'd say the most common illnesses that we're seeing with our pets, both dogs and cats, are all things that can be prevented. They can also be fixed with a proper diet, but mostly they can be prevented with a proper diet. And these are things like kidney disease, urinary issues, skin issues, yeast infections, diabetes, and even cancer are all things that are caused by, you know, bad nutrition. And you can see a huge improvement in a very short amount of time just by switching them to a better food.
Wow. Okay. So there are a lot of things that we can prevent from even starting by just starting with the basics and what kind of food our pet eats.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, these are issues that really we didn't see a lot of until more recently when commercial pet foods became more popular. Back when, you know, dogs were eating scraps off the farm, dogs and cats were much healthier. Cats were eating mice in the barns, and dogs were eating scraps, and they were very healthy. They didn't have things like cancer and diabetes. these are really things that you're seeing growing in commonality as we're seeing commercial pet foods becoming more popular and becoming the predominant way of feeding pets. So it's very easy for me to see a correlation.
Okay, so this is really important for us to think about, what choices we make for our pet's food.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay, so given that, what are some of the more important things to consider when choosing a pet food, now that we know that it's important or something that we need to really put some time into thinking about?
Yeah, well, I'd say the first thing that a lot of people forget about, and it's, you know, it's partially that people want to see their pets
as their children or as an extension of themselves. They want to humanize them. But also that pet food companies are a little deceiving in this way. We often forget that our dogs and cats are carnivores. Their digestive tracts are designed to process meat. Their teeth are not built for grinding. They're built for tearing and ripping and chewing. They are, in all respects, they are carnivores. Cats are strict carnivores. So cats are unable to absorb nutrients from anything that isn't an animal-based ingredient. So if you give them corn, they might eat the corn, but they're going to poop it all out. They're not going to get any from it. And while it's going through their system, it's really just putting stress on the digestive tract. Dogs are a little bit, we like to call them opportunistic omnivores. So they are true carnivores in that their bodies are designed to eat meat. And that's where they are easiest to digest. However, dogs are a little better at cats than obtaining nutrients from plant-based ingredients, mostly just because they are opportunistic and they were evolved to eat our scraps so that they over time evolved to be able to get nutrients out of this. But a lot of times people forget that even though we think of them as our children, they are carnivores. So I'd say that's the number one most important thing to consider when choosing a pet food is that they're carnivores and you want to feed them as such. You want to feed them meat-based foods and not grain or vegetable-based food.
Okay, and I'm sure the quality of that meat makes a difference as well.
It absolutely does, and we we talk a lot about the range and quality. I'd say that for me, I'm less concerned about the actual quality of where the meat's coming from, and more concerned about what parts of the animal are included. Sorry, my little dog wants to have things to say about it too. Okay. So I'm, while we obviously always, organic foods are better, great, grass-fed, free-range meat better. Overall, I'd say that that's less important than making sure that we're not getting byproducts, that we're not getting the feet and the beaks and the feathers, that we're getting the muscle meat and the organs. That, I think, is more important than where the meat is sourced. But if, you're able to, it's definitely, the sourcing of the meat is absolutely important. And the better the meat is sourced, the better quality nutrition you're providing for your pet.
Okay.
So,
You touched on two things I want to ask, because I'm not quite sure, and I know there are listeners out there who probably are wondering the same thing. What is a byproduct?
So the AFCO definition of a byproduct is anything. Actually, let me pull that up, because that one I don't want to give the wrong. Wrong definition, but let me start with AFCO is the organization that controls what ingredients are called on pet food bags. So they say that says the word byproduct, this is what it means. And their definition is, so for example, this is what chicken byproduct is defined as on a bag of food. Chicken byproduct is defined as the ground rendered clean parts of the carcass of a slaughtered chicken, such as neck, feet, undeveloped eggs and intestines, exclusive of feathers, except such amount might occur unavoidable in good processing practice.
Okay, so this is something we want to avoid.
1 minute.
People argue that some byproduct, organ, for example, is considered a byproduct, whereas I find organ to be very healthy. However, when you're seeing the byproduct on a food, the reason I don't like it is because it doesn't really tell you what it is. If it says I like it, but when it says beef byproduct, I'm saying to myself, is it the organs or is it the hooves or any of the other parts? Because it can include a lot of ingredients that are you don't want to be feeding to your pet. So byproducts in general we like to avoid. It's very hard to kind of gather what exactly is included. So even though organs are a healthy part, I would like to see the organ listed as an organ, not as a byproduct.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. Well, that is helpful. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back in just a minute with Jenna Yarosh of Pet Avenue Pet Company. And join us in just a moment. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. Okay, hi, and welcome back. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and we are here with Jenna Yarosh, owner of Patton Avenue Pet Company in Asheville, North Carolina. And we are discussing pet nutrition and how to pick out a good pet food for our pets. And Jenna, tell us what about, I've heard a lot people say that grains are bad, and you mentioned that just a second ago. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, so grains, it's a hard thing to say grains are bad. What it is that grain-based foods are bad. So grains inherently aren't necessarily bad in small quantities. Dogs can digest small amounts of grains, and sometimes they can get nutrients from it. So it's not the grain itself that's bad. What's bad is that the pet food companies, they're using it as a cheap ingredient. They're using it as a filler. So in order to make a kibble, you have to have a carbohydrate to bind the protein to. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to, make those nice, hard little kibbles that everyone likes to pour out. But they're using ingredients that are cheap and easily available, so things like corn and wheat and soy. And so these ingredients are not very digestible by dogs and cats. Cats really can't digest it. Dogs have a very difficult time. The reason why is that they lack they lack amylase. So humans have amylase in our saliva. Amylase is what breaks down these complex carbohydrates and makes them the nutrients available. Dogs and cats do not have salivary amylase. Cats have very little amylase. Dogs have slightly more, but it's not until their lower intestine. So these carbohydrates and grains are going through their entire digestive tract undigested, and then they have to work very hard at the end of the digestive tract to try to process them. It puts a lot of stress on the body, and it makes it, it causes a lot of issues like skin issues, indigestibility, digestive issues. And not only that, but these nutrients or these grains, they count towards protein and calories on the bag, but that doesn't mean that they're bioavailable. So it doesn't mean that the dogs and cats are able to actually get the nutrients out of it. So while the food may say it has X percentage of protein, if some of this protein is coming from grains, that doesn't mean they're actually able to absorb protein. So we find it, that dogs and cats are not getting as much protein from grain-based foods as they would from a meat-based food because they're not as bioavailable and they're not able to break them down and actually absorb the nutrients. So we find that these grains are often put in there to make the food cheaper, to make there be a better bottom line for the corporation. They're not put into the food because this is what's best for the dog and cat. When we sell, when I pick the food that I sell in my store, I pick foods that are built from what does the dog need, not how can we use these cheap ingredients. And that's why they put a lot of grains in the food. So, a little bit of grain is not bad, but usually it signals, a few grains in a food signals that it's a lower quality food oftentimes because they're using a cheaper ingredient.
Interesting. It's funny you mentioned that with the skin issues because my lab mix, she breaks out into a rash a day or two after she has any corn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, I mean, and it was just this trial and error that I had to figure out and look at the ingredients
right.
and go, okay, you know, trying different dog foods. And I figured out that the corn was causing her this kind of nasty skin rash that was really itchy
Absolutely.
For her. And so I know that that was something that was really tough on her system. So.
Mm-hmm. Everyone forgets the skin is the biggest organ in the body. And when you're, you know, talking about damage to the body or things that are tough for the body to process, skin is one of the easiest places to see it, not only because it's the biggest organ in the body, but because it's out. You know, you can't see the damage that it's doing to kidneys and to the liver and to the digestive tract. You can very easily see the damage it's doing to skin. So, you know, checking on your pet's skin is a great way to see if their diet is working for them. It's usually, you know, most skin issues we trace back to a dietary issue. You know, there's always some external issues, but very easy to, you know, improve the diet and see the skin issues clear up. Over and over and over we see them.
All right. So given all this, what are some good tips for the everyday person when evaluating ingredients or looking at those labels on the dog food or cat food or pet food ingredients?
Absolutely. So it used to be easy. You used to be able to just say, you want to see meat first. But what's happening is these pet food companies that are more interested in the bottom line than nutrition have learned this, and they've started making meat-first ingredients where the meat is not always the actual main ingredient in the food. So before I get into this, let me preface by saying when ingredients are listed on a pet food bag, just like with our food, they're listed in order by weight. So the first ingredient is going to be the heaviest by weight in a total bag. However,
okay.
when they include the word chicken, not chicken meal, but the word chicken, that is inclusive of water. So if you see chicken as the first ingredient in a pet food bag, that means that when it was water inclusive, that was the heaviest ingredient in the bag. However, when the food is actually cooked down, most of that chicken is water. And so when you cook it down, that chicken is going to jump down the list in terms of, you know, percentage of the food.
Sure.
So you often see chicken as the first ingredient on a bag of food when it's not the predominant ingredient in the food. So we used to be able to say, oh, you want to turn over the food, and if the first ingredient is meat, you're good. But now we've had to change that. You want to see in the first three ingredients a meat meal if the first ingredient is inclusive of water. Does that make sense? So if the first ingredient is chicken, you want to see chicken meal has already been cooked. The water's been removed. So you want to see that high in the list as well if this food's going to be meat-based. Often they'll say chicken, and then the second ingredient is rice. The third ingredient is corn. When you cook that food, now the food is a rice and corn-based food with chicken in it. However, if the ingredients say chicken meal brown rice, even when the first ingredient is cooked, the predominant ingredient is still chicken. So that's the number one most important thing to see, is that you want to see meals. And there's a difference. Meals just means that the meat has been cooked. It's not the same as byproducts. That's a huge misnomer. People think that byproducts are good and meals are bad, or they know that byproducts are bad, so they think meals are bad. Meals are good. They're not as good as a whole ingredient of chicken, but they're more, you know, it's easier to have it on the list to see that it's predominant ingredient, to see that meal high on the list. That would be the number one most important thing to look at, is you want to see meat and meat meals high on the list of ingredients. The second most important thing to keep an eye out is the splitting of ingredients. So sometimes to make it look like there's less rice in the food, they'll split rice into different components. So there'll
right.
be rice bran, rice flour, rice, you know, rice whole. They'll split it so that it looks like there's less quantity of rice in the food, because there's, you know, each individual piece will be lower on the list, but when you combine them all together, now you're seeing that rice should be a lot higher on the list. So you want to see a large quantity of meat ingredients and as low possible a quantity of plant-based ingredients. That's the most important thing to look for on an ingredient list. And you want to avoid anything that is artificial. So no byproducts, but also no artificial coloring, no artificial flavoring, no artificial ingredients in general. Everyone loves that bag of Beneful because it's got all these bright colored kibbles on the front, and they say, ooh, it's bright colored, it means healthy. But what all that is just vegetable dye. And that's for our benefit. We think it looks like vegetables. We think it's healthier. But actually, all that dye is going to come out. You see dogs with tear stains. A lot of that tear staining is from food dyes that they can't process, have to be expelled from the body. So you don't want to see any of that on the ingredient panel either.
Okay. All right. So avoid the colored dog foods and cat foods.
Mm-hmm.
Look for meat high up, as in chicken and chicken meal. And I'm glad you explained what meal was because, I don't think I ever really understood that. And I know there are a lot of people that get out there listening that get confused about, okay, is meal good, is meal bad? So
mm-hmm.
meal is just the cooked chicken without the water.
Exactly. It's about 300 times more nutritionally dense per pound than regular chicken.
Okay.
So, there's a good and bad. So the good thing about regular chicken, just seeing the word chicken on there, is that it's only going to be cooked once in a kibble, in a dry food. So they're going into the mix whole, and then it's only being cooked once. Whereas chicken meal is cooked twice. It's cooked first to get the water out, to turn it into a meal, second when it's turned into a kibble. So, there's benefits, and that's why it's nice to get food with both. Getting the nutrition, a little bit extra boost in nutrition from having the chicken only be cooked once, but you're seeing the meal on there to make sure that there is a high quantity of meat ingredients, and it's not just all the water included in chicken. So it is a tough one. It's a hard thing for people to understand, and that's what pet food companies are counting on. They're counting on it being so confusing that people don't know, so they just buy the thing that has the most brand recognition. But if people took the time to educate themselves, we could show those pet food companies that we can't be tricked that easy.
Right. And does the meal work the same with turkey meal or salmon meal? Or
absolutely. Yep. Okay. All meals just mean that that the water has been removed before putting into the food. So it's a more nutrient dense ingredient. But again, it's double processed. So it's an interesting one.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. This is fascinating. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and we'll be back in just a minute to learn more about pet food nutrition with Jenna Yarosh of Patton Avenue Pet Company. Welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. Okay, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Lee Merriweather, and we are chatting with Jenna Yarosh of Patton Avenue Pet Company, and we're learning so much about pet food and how we can be better buyers of pet food and serve our pets better. So we were discussing list of ingredients, and we went over a lot of great tips there. But for the person who gets overwhelmed with all the choices, you go in there and there's just so many choices. What are some other good advice and tips?
Well, it might be a little partial, but I'd say the best thing you can do if you're overwhelmed by all the options is to find a store like mine and talk to knowledgeable people who work there. So we are all, my life is pet nutrition. It's not like going to a vet where they went to school for veterinary medicine. They didn't really study a lot of nutrition, and a lot of what vets know about nutrition is from the pet food companies themselves who come in and teach. Whereas when you go to an independent pet store, we are up on all of the foods and the trends and recalls and different brands, who owns what and what ingredients are better than others. And this is not something you can find at a big box pet store, but at your small independent stores, because it's our life, we stay on top of it. We're happy to educate. And that's one of the benefits of shopping local and independent. But if you're unable to find a local store that can help you, my other piece of advice is don't go on the internet and read message boards, because a lot of times they're not trained. They are, they have experience with their own pet, but they're not professionals. So we avoid a lot of bad information on the internet. However, the one exception to that is there are some very good websites out there run by people whose job it is to analyze food. One of our favorites is called Dog Food Advisor. I believe it's dogfoodadvisor.org, I want to say, but it's Dog Food Advisor. And the gentleman who runs it, his name is Mike, he analyzes dog food based on their ingredients. And he tells you, he rates them on a star system, 1 to 5 stars, and tells you exactly why they're being rated this way. So is it because they're not using high-quality ingredients? Is it because they use artificial flavors? Is it because are they getting a 5-star rating because they only source grain-free, grass-fed, free-range animals? So there's websites like that that are reputable, that are run by people who are doing a lot of research on this. Those are highly recommended. And the other thing to keep in mind if people are overwhelmed is that simple is almost always better. So if you're ever looking for a good food, you want to find one that's got meat, not a lot of filler and junk, it's going to have a small ingredient list, and it's simplicity is sometimes the best thing you can do. Just like our diet, sometimes all the bells and whistles are no substitution for just a good, balanced, healthy, simple diet. So that would be, just take a step back and look for something simple and easy.
Okay. All right, great. Well, I love that first tip on avoiding the forums. And, I'm not sure I would have thought of that because, you try to do your own research out there, but there's some bad information, too, and you got to be careful.
Yes. And it's so easily perpetuated on the internet, people who don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Blank is the best food ever, and every dog should be on it. And even if they're talking about a high-quality food, it's every dog is different, and every cat is different. And just because it works for one animal does not mean it's going to work well for another animal. We always say if there was one perfect food, I would have a very small store. It's that this food might work best for this dachshund, and this pit bull hiking every day might be this food, and this geriatric golden retriever is going to need a completely different kind of food. And, you really have to find something that works best for your pet. And so I, definitely avoid any kind of overreaching thing to say, this is the way to feed all animals. It's just like us. I'm a vegetarian, and I do very well on a vegetarian diet, but I know a lot of people who wouldn't be able to. We need different ingredients. And, you see with gluten, some people I can process gluten perfectly, and other people do not process gluten well. So, just like with humans, dogs and cats vary between individuals on their needs and what works best for them. So that's one of the reasons I really hate these internet forums where they say this is the way to do it, because there's no one way.
Right. That's a tall order. That's a tall promise right there.
Mm-hmm.
if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. And I love your website. You mentioned the Dog Food Advisor, but your website, which is PattonAvenuePetCompany.com, has a great page.
PattonAvenuePet.com. Sorry.
PattonAvenuePet.com.
Yep. Sorry.
That's okay. No, we want our listeners to know exactly where to go, because you have a lovely page, Dog Nutrition Links. And here is where people can go and find reliable and valid resources for reading more about this. And you have the Dog Food Advisor link on there as well.
Yes, absolutely we do. And we really like that website. We print out copies all the time for people when they come in and they say, I thought I was eating this great food. And we show them, that their food was actually only rated 2 stars, but for an equal price bag, they could get a 4-star, 5-star. So, right. You know, it's a nice, it's a really nice resource. It's kind of, it's neutral almost. He's not being paid by any pet companies. He's not, you know, I think he's partial to high quality nutrition, but I think that's a good thing. Otherwise, he's an impartial party just rating all foods on the same parameters, which is really nice.
Yeah. And I love the other tip for, you know, simplicity. Keep it simple, you know, with the ingredients. And that's another great tip for when we are evaluating pet food for our pets. So this is something that I've always wondered. Does expensive always mean better?
So not really. One thing, you know, you do get what you pay for. So if you want a high-quality meat-based food, you're going to be paying more than if you want a lower-quality corn or wheat-based food, simply because the ingredients are more expensive. And that's why they sell so many foods with corn and wheat and soy. Those are cheap ingredients, and they can put it in a bag and sell it with high margins for the company at a very low price. So, you know, yes, expensive sometimes means better, but I would argue that sometimes it does not. So one thing to keep in mind is that just because a bag is more expensive does not mean that it's going to be more expensive to feed.
Okay.
If you're feeding a food with a lot of fillers, we mean corn, wheat, soy, these cheap, undigestible, you know, even potato falls in there too these days. They're putting a lot of, they're saying, oh, it's grain-free, but it's a lot of potato. So when you're feeding foods with a lot of fillers, you need to feed a lot of it in order to get the, you know, the nutrients, the amount of calories that a dog needs. So if you're feeding a crappy food, you might feed a dog, you know, a 50-pound dog might get 4 cups a day. Well, if you switch to one of my favorite kibbles, if you're going to stick with a kibble, I really like Origin and Acana. They're a Canadian company, and they're very high meat content. So they're 80% meat, 20% fruits and veggies. So they are, you know, it's a very meat-based food. There has to be, you know, carbohydrates in order to find the kibble, but it's, you know, as much meat as possibly fit in that bag. And when you're feeding a food like that that has very few fillers and it's mostly nutritious meat, you're actually feeding so much less. You might only eat 2 cups. So while the bag might be twice as expensive, the bag will last you twice as long because you don't eat as much. And this is something that is really hard for people to get when they go into the store and they're just looking at prices. Bags are not created equal. All bags are different sizes. So some bags are now 24 pounds, and you're comparing it to a 33-pound bag. So you can't just look at the price tag on the bag. You have to look at things like bag size, serving size, and then digestibility. So how much you're going to have to feed of each food to, in order to get that same amount of nutrients. So that's one thing to keep in mind. More expensive bag doesn't always be more expensive to feed over time. So we have a nice chart, and I don't have it on my website, although I need to, but we have it in store. And it's a chart that shows your cost per bag versus your cost per month. And this shows you that just because you're spending more on an individual bag does not mean that you're going to be spending more in the course of a month or a year. The other thing to keep in mind is in a company like Blue Buffalo. So Blue Buffalo makes decent quality food. I wouldn't say it's, you know, in the top tier, but it's high up there. It's a good quality food. But they have a lot of advertising. They do TV ads, they do internet ads, they do paper ads. And what do you think is paying for this? The consumer. So the bag price is slated to pay for their advertising. So we tend to stick with companies that aren't doing as much advertising. It helps keep their overhead costs low and helps be able to pass that savings on to the consumer. So that's another thing to keep in mind with expensive foods is it expensive because you're paying for high quality ingredients, or is it expensive because you're paying for the company's overhead, for their advertising, for their marketing campaigns and things like this?
Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, I like that tip about looking at the serving size too. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of us really think about that because we think it's all the same. You know,
right,
my dog needs 3 cups a day, and that may or may not be the case.
Yeah, and so it varies greatly depending on the quality of the food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some great great advice and great tips there. So, all right, well, we're going to take another short break. We'll be right back with Jenna Yarrow, Chef Patton Avenue Pet Company, on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. Okay, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and we are chatting with Jenna Yarosh with Patton Avenue Pet Company. We're learning more about dog food, cat food, ingredients, and how to pick a good pet food for our pets. And I have heard so much about raw food and this raw food diet that I don't know much about it. Can you tell us a little bit, what's all this craze about, Jenna?
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a fad. It's a, you know, the word craze, and people think it's a, you know, it's a trendy thing. So first of all, I want to start by saying that this is not anything new. This is the way that dogs and cats have been eating for thousands and thousands of years. Dogs are descendants of wolves who would stalk and kill prey in the wild and eat them raw. And cats are, they have always been hunters. They were domesticated because they helped keep rodent populations under control on ships and in cities. And so this is the way that dogs and cats' bodies have developed over time. Over thousands of years of evolution, they've been developed to be able to process raw meat. Commercial pet food only came along in the last 50 to 75 years. But before that, we didn't feed cats. Cats just were out in the yard killing mice and birds and small mammals and eating them raw. And dogs were thrown, you're cooking up, you kill a chicken and you cut out the breast and the legs for the humans and you toss the rest of it to the dog and they eat the carcass. And so this is the natural way to feed. Commercial pet food came along and, you know, they started in the 20s, but they became really popular 50s, 60s, mostly to make it easier for us. It was not because this is a better way for our pets. This is because we wanted to pour something out of a bag. We were moving into cities, weren't on the farm anymore. We wanted our cats to live indoors. They didn't have access to mice. And we wanted something that we could pour out of a bag into a bowl and feed to our pets. So when we talk about raw, we're really going back to their natural diet. There's many reasons why raw is the best way to feed. One is that there's no need for any fillers. You're giving, you know, we have to put carbohydrates in a kibble because we have to make a nice, hard little kibble. And you can't do that without carbohydrates. Even in canned food, we often put some ingredients in there to make it the right texture, to pour out of a can, to preserve it properly. Raw food is frozen. It doesn't need any binders. It doesn't need any fillers. It doesn't need to be shaped into any shape. So because of that, you're not giving your pet anything that they don't actually. There's no junk, there's no filler. And what is left, you're usually, you know, a balanced raw diet is mostly muscle meat, and then it includes, you know, there's two different models. We can talk about this all day, but basically there's two models. There's one that says that there's no veggies necessary, let's eat it, meat, bone, organ, and blood, and that's all they need. And then there's a what they call the BARF model, which is a little bit more popular solely based on that grossness factor, where they are actually, instead of using organ-based nutrients, they're using vegetable and plant-based nutrients to get the vitamins and minerals. So they might put some kale in there, other vegetables to give them the minerals and vitamins, whereas the prey model does not use any vegetables and just uses animal-based ingredients. So because of this, these nutrients are in their most bioavailable form. They're in the most natural form. In a kibble or a can, you're cooking out those nutrients, and then you're replacing them with an artificial vitamin pack. These vitamin packs are mostly coming from China. Most artificial vitamins are made in China these days. So if people are trying to avoid Chinese ingredients, avoiding artificial vitamins and minerals in their pet food is a very important way to do that.
So in raw food, you don't need to replace any nutrients because they're all still alive. They're still living. All those enzymes are still alive. All those vitamins and minerals are still alive. They're not, you know, killed by heat, pressure, and the things that we do to our kibbles and our cans. In raw food, we're just freezing it, and it's containing much more of the nutrients than is in any processed. So you're not destroying anything, and these nutrients are in their whole form. So when the dog is getting a vitamin pack from a kibble, they're not really able to absorb those nutrients, so they usually put a lot more in there than they need. Whereas in raw food, they're able to absorb these. They're in a much more natural form. They're in a form that the dog's bodies are designed to absorb, and they're much healthier because of it. So usually when you see a pet on raw food, they have bright, shiny eyes. They've got shiny, soft coats. They've got clean, wonderful teeth because they're usually, you know, including in the raw food diet, raw bones, things like this that are great for their teeth. They rarely have digestive issues. They rarely get kidney issues or diabetes, these things that are caused by diet. So you see a lot healthier animals, and they smell better and they're shinier and softer, which makes people happier. So we see it as a win-win-win. My dog and cats are raw eaters, and they love the taste, and they're healthier because of it. So I'm a big fan of raw food. There's a lot of misnomers out there in the world about raw food, about safety. And what I would argue there is that, first of all, we prepare raw meat for ourselves. I'm a vegetarian, but people who eat meat, they're bringing raw food into their kitchens, and they're not getting salmonella. Why? Because they're washing their hands, they're washing their cutting boards, they're washing their knives, they're not licking their hands when there's raw meat on there. And if people use the same common sense with their pet food, it's just as safe as preparing raw food for yourself. Second misnomer is that you're going to get your dog or cat sick. Well, I'd like to argue that, salmonella, for example, is a huge fear that people think, oh, if I eat raw, I'm going to get salmonella. In the past 3 years, while I've owned a store, I've watched many, many, many kibbles be recalled for salmonella. We have not had any recalls on raw food because of salmonella. So I'd like to argue, sure, there's a risk of salmonella, but it's just as much of a risk of, if not more of a risk, of kibble. And thirdly, dogs and cats are not really susceptible. Healthy adult dogs and cats are not really susceptible to salmonella or other bacteria. Their bodies work at a very high temperature. They digest at a very quick rate. And it's very rare that you see a healthy adult dog or cat contract salmonella. Sick animals, older animals, really young ones can be susceptible to these bacteria, but most healthy adult animals are not susceptible. So the risks that people worry about with the safety, I'd say, the risk of having kidney issues or digestive issues or diabetes because of the improper diet is a much higher risk than any risk of eating raw. So, I'm a huge fan, and I think we're seeing people starting to realize the benefits and eating the raw segment growing incredibly.
And is this raw food something they can get, like, at your store?
You can definitely get it at my store. You can get it at other stores like mine. One thing I would definitely want to mention is that there's a difference between raw meat sold in a pet supply store and raw meat sold at the grocery store.
Raw I was going to ask that question next. Why can't we just go to the grocery store? Okay, tell us that.
Yeah. So the reason why is because raw meat at the grocery store is sold with the intention of that meat being cooked. So the allowable levels of bacteria on meat sold at the grocery store are much higher because the thinking of the inspectors is that you're going to go home and you're going to cook that, and any bacteria on the meat is going to die when you're cooking it. So if you buy meat from me, for example, the meat that's been processed for sale in my store, from the get-go, they knew that it was going to be fed raw. So the allowable levels of bacteria are much lower. So while you can keep raw meat in the grocery store, and while people do it with great success, don't have very many issues, there are a lot higher risks of feeding raw from the grocery store than feeding raw from either a pet store or, conversely, going directly to a farm or something like that, where you're or a meat processing plant, where you can tell them, please make sure that this is a frozen right after processing and not sitting around in a, you know, in a processing facility waiting to be packaged for a grocery store where they never freeze it. And that's where a lot of that bacteria is formed. So you can contact, you know, a local farm and say, hey, I'd like to, you know, buy some meat from you, but I'm going to be feeding it raw to make sure that we're getting, you know, frozen meat that's, you know, quickly frozen and doesn't have bacteria. So, but generally your safest bet is buying from a pet supply store from companies who are packaging meat to be fed raw to dogs and cats. Not only that, but they usually have the organs or the vegetables that are added to the meat to make sure that it's a complete diet. If you buy meat from a grocery store or a farmer, it's going to be on you to make sure that the vitamins and minerals are balanced properly so you're not causing nutrient deficiencies in your dog or cat. So there's a lot of benefits from buying from us, but we know that it's not the only way to feed raw. There's plenty of people who, you know, contact hunters or are raising their own chickens in their own backyard to feed to their dogs and things like that. So there's a lot of ways to do it. But it's a good place to start if you're new to raw to contact a pet supply store and have them walk you through it so you make sure you're doing it properly.
Sure. And then there's a refrigerated section, I'm assuming, in your store, and it needs to be refrigerated. How long does it last at home?
So in the freezer, it can last up to a year. You know, freezer burn is an issue, but really, if it maintains frozen, you know, frozen state, it's usually good for a while. Once you defrost it for feeding, we recommend that our customers only defrost about 2 days worth at a time. This way, it's not getting bacteria in your fridge, the high moisture, and, you know, possibly bacteria-prone area in your kitchen. And so we recommend that. And not only that, but the chicken doesn't get as nice. It starts getting a little, you know, a little stale in the fridge. Dr. Pets may not like it as much. So at home, I usually only defrost the next following days at a time. So when I go to feed my pets raw, that's when I pull the next day's food from the freezer and put it into the fridge to defrost. You never, just like for our own food, you never want to defrost on the counter, always in the fridge.
Okay, yeah, and that sounds pretty user-friendly. You know, initially I was thinking, okay, raw, it's going to be complicated. I'm going to have to buy it every other day, but this is pretty straightforward.
It is, and there, you know, there's different forms. There are ways to buy it in bulk that are a lot less expensive but require a little bit more work. But there's, you know, there's a lot of really user-friendly raws out there where there's little patties or even little nuggets that you can just pour out to a bowl or that are already portioned out to size for you, so it makes it really easy to feed. So there's a lot of different options out there, and just like when we were talking earlier, it's most important to find something that not only works for your pet, but that works for you. Because, you know, picking out a great diet is no good if you're unable to keep up on it every day. So we recommend, you know, finding something that works for both of you. But, you know, keeping a focus on what's best for your pet the whole time.
I like it. Do you recommend changing dog foods every now and then, or if you find one that works, stick with it?
Oh, I absolutely recommend rotating. So my dogs are actually rotated almost every day. I give them a variety. That was one of those misnomers that the pet food company started, was that, if you find a food that works, stick with it, because if you switch it, they're going to have horrible diarrhea.
Right.
And you know what? They will. They might have diarrhea once in a while. But you know what? My joke, and I hope poor taste, is that we go to Mexican restaurants, even though we might get digestive issues from it, and we can go back, because it's not the end of the world.
It can happen.
You know, chronic
right.
diarrhea is an issue, but slight loose stool because you're switching foods is not a big enough issue to avoid switching. Also, you know, if you feed the same foods or the same proteins or ingredients over and over and over for years, eventually the body doesn't absorb them as well and can actually start recognizing them as an allergen. So rotate and you're switching up proteins and foods and brands, you're not only preventing allergies, but you're giving a wider range of nutrients. You're preventing any kind of nutrient deficiency. So say a food is low in calcium or low in protein, you feed just that food over and over time, that it's going to catch up with you. Whereas if you're rotating, this food might be, you know, high in vitamin, C, and this, you know, they'll balance each other out over time. You know, especially with amino acids, not all proteins have the same levels of amino acids. So if you're rotating from beef, chicken, turkey, to pork, you're getting that range of amino acids to make a more balanced diet. And, you know, overall, just like us, I don't want to eat the same thing every meal every day for the rest of my life. I don't think dogs have to either. My dogs love variety. And the more variety I give them, the stronger their stomachs are and the easier it is for me to switch up for them.
Yeah, that makes total sense, and I think that's important for us to consider with our pets. So what are your thoughts? I know there's a lot of debate out there. What about table scraps? Do we feed our pets table scraps?
I love giving my dog table scraps, but the reason why is because I eat a really healthy diet. So I eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, and I don't eat a lot of, you know, processed junk. So my advice to people is, if you're eating a healthy diet, it's great to give your dogs table scraps. I think the number one issue that people worry about is a training issue. Is if I give my dog table scraps, they'll beg. And yes, they absolutely will. But if you teach your dogs to be polite, sharing table scraps is wonderful if you are giving them healthy food. You know, dogs, especially cats, aren't really good at table scraps. Unless you know, once in a while they do. But dogs started as scavengers. You know, they were evolved to eat our scraps. And so it gives them a, you know, if you're eating baby carrots, toss a carrot to your dog, they are now getting that nutrient from that carrot. If you're eating Cheetos, you probably don't want to give it to your dog as a benefit.
Right, them Cheetos, no Twinkies, right.
Yeah. My dogs, for example, love broccoli stalks. So when I'm making a stir fry and I'm cutting up my broccoli, I'll toss my dog stalks, and it's great extra fiber for them. They love it. They sit and chew it for their teeth. They're getting that hardness to clean off their teeth. They're getting that fiber in their diet. They may not get a lot of nutrients from it, but it's not bad for them, and it'll actually help give them some extra fiber. So I love giving my dog table scraps. And my cats once in a while when they ask for something nicely.
It's just hard for some cats, I think. But, all right. So high quality. It can be wonderful. So all right. So what's the one thing you want pet owners to most know?
The number one thing I want people to remember and keep in their mind is that you're feeding a carnivore. That commercial pet food is very, very new in the realm of having companion animals. For years, they were eating meat-based foods, and only recently did we start trying to get them onto, grain and carbohydrate and plant-based foods. And the other thing that's really important to keep in mind is that most pet foods out there, 90% of pet foods out there are owned by very large corporations that do not care about your pet's health. They care about their bottom line. And if you remember that, and remember that dogs and cats are carnivores, they want meat, it really helps you make the right decisions. Corporations that own these big pet food companies do not care about your pet's health. They want to make money. And a lot of smaller pet foods, sure, they want to make money, they want to stay in business, just like I want to make money at my store, I want to stay in business, but we're in it for really trying to save good dogs and cats from bad food. So if you keep those things in mind, it should be pretty easy to find a good, healthy diet for your pet.
Who are some, real quickly, just have a minute here, who are some of your favorite brands of pet foods?
So some of my favorite brands, if you're talking about kibbles, I really like Origin and Acana. They're a Canadian company that only sources from regional family farms, and it's high, high meat content, very low filler. Some of my other favorite brands is KLN, Tuffy's. They make a bunch of really nice foods, Nutrisource and Pure Vita, that are a little bit more affordable, but still high quality, high meat-based. In raw, I really like Vital Essentials, Primal. These are companies that have made it very easy for the layperson to get into raw. They make nice, easy-to-use patties and nuggets. And then generally, you know, any of these companies are going to, they all could use, you know, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods, things that are, you know, in between. If you're not quite ready to go to raw, you can find something in between a kibble in a can and a raw, something that's, a little bit processed, but still maintains a lot of the nutrients. And those would be brands like Stella and Chewy's, Primal and Vital Essentials, all to those freeze-dried. Honest Kitchen does it dehydrated. So there's some really nice brands out there, and they're not always available everywhere. But usually, if you can, you know, get a gist of what you're looking for, you can find a local brand that makes what you're looking for.
Wonderful. Well, this has been just so wonderful and educational, and a lot of food for thought. No pun intended there. thank you. Yeah, food for thought. Thank you, Jenna Yarosh of Patton Avenue Pet Company. Her website is pattonavenuepet.com. You can go there and learn more about her, her store, dog nutrition, cat food nutrition links, and get some great, wonderful resources. We thank you for being here and sharing your knowledge and your passion for pets. And
I really appreciate you having me on. Yeah, thank you so much. It's nice to be able to preach the good word of good food and to help save, you know, good animals from bad food. So I really appreciate
it. And keep our pets healthier for longer and everybody happier. So thank you, everyone out there, for joining us. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and join us next session. Okay, thank you, everyone. Lots of love. Bye. Thank you for joining us. Please visit pethonoring.com or email me at pethonoring.com.